To Luke, the second chapter. Luke, the second chapter. I want to read verses 1 through 11. Then we're going to go over to Luke 19, verse 10, where Jesus defines his ministry, his messianic ministry. I want to read what we term the Christmas story. So Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 11. And then we'll go over to Luke 19, 10. Then we're going to pray. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the place of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Then if you would turn over to Luke 19, we want to look at verse 10, and we'll spend the remainder of our time really thinking through this verse. Luke 19, 10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Heavenly Father, we are grateful to have this opportunity where we reflect, remember, and recount the amazing love that you extended toward us in sending your Son to be born as a babe in a manger, to grow, to go to the cross, to die, to pay the penalty for our sin, to rise again in triumph, never to die again. That really explains your passion for sinners, and it has moved you to send him that we might realize a relationship with you through faith in him. Thank you for that. Thank you that Jesus willingly came to take on our sin, to die a terrible death, and to rise in victory and to extend to each of us amazing grace. Thank you for that. Father, we remember, we celebrate. This is today the foundation of that where we stand. That a Savior has come into the world. We thank you for that. Father, bless these families, these individuals. Help us today to see what you need us to see. I pray your Spirit would move as you would please to speak to those who are before you, to encourage us, to challenge us, to help us to think through this whole Christmas celebration that is before us in the text that we have opened. Father, we give this moment to you. We ask that you will move in Christ's name. Amen. Good morning and Merry Christmas. Really want to say that. We've just looked at Luke's account of the Advent, and I had you turn to this 10th verse in chapter 19. The remainder of our time this morning is going to be really on this verse because it perfectly describes why Jesus came and what he's striving to accomplish. In verse 10, Jesus declares why he is God, humbled himself to leave heaven and the glory that was there and take on human flesh. Now, there are varying opinions about Jesus and why he came and why he lived his life the way he did and what happened there. But whatever your opinion may be this morning, I would ask that you would allow his testimony to be the determining factor of who he is and what he came to do. Verse 10 really describes his purpose and his mission for becoming a babe in a manger. There are two truths that I want to camp out on this morning that I see in this text. They are, first of all, that he is seeking. Verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Why is he seeking? I think that's a question we need to ask. Why is he seeking? Now, I want to answer that question. Why is he seeking? He is seeking men and women, boys and girls, because of our need for him. He's seeking because we are of eternal value to him, and we need to be sought. See, he's pursuing us in order that we might come to our senses and see our need for the salvation that he provides. What's this all about? Well, our sin has prompted our need. Sin is missing the mark that God has established. See, he's seeking. And seeking here has the idea to seek after, to look for, to try to find. He's seeking. Sin has a direct impact and influence. We've missed the mark. And it has impacted us here on this earth. From our families, to our friends, to ourselves, to our marriages. It touches everything. Missing the mark. When sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, it changed everything. And what lies in its wake is death, defeat, fractured homes and relationships. In a world, in a word, hopelessness. See, every nation in the world lies under sin's dark and oppressive weight that overpowers. And we somehow believe that we're exempt from its influence. It crushes society. It vexes the soul. And it moves from men, it moves men to do the most unthinkable of things. Countless victims of the lust of men and his sinfulness lie broken, trying to get through just one more day. Sin sucks the joy and life out of mankind. His sinfulness, what lies there is brokenness and so forth. And our nation is a testimony to the relentlessness and ability of sin to dominate, to impact, to deceive, and wreck the hearts of men. It has besieged us. He came to seek, and he seeks us because we need him. See, we are misled in our thinking that this is the glorious Upper Peninsula, full of good men and neighbors who mean no harm to others. There are those folks here for sure. There are. But you'll have to work your way through a community that's been fractured by immorality, murder, drugs, alcohol, extortion, rape, and injustices. Babies born with an addiction to drugs passed on to by the parent testify that sin is ever present, and man lives for himself. Pregnancy Services operates in nearby Escanaba. Why? Why is that? Because man in his sinfulness has somehow come to the point that killing the yet-born infant is a viable choice for a parent to make. For example, this year a bill passed in the New York legislature that allows for the taking of a life while the baby is exiting the womb. How did we get here? When I saw it, I thought to myself, by the way, so they passed that. And upon the final vote, its passage promoted pro-abortion legislatures in that chamber to cheer and to break into applause. How did we get here? How can this be? See, sin has brought us to this place. Man has joined hand in hand with the demons in hell in applauding the killing of the helpless, of the precious, the most vulnerable among us. Jesus stepped into this evil. He came to seek. He came for those who have made terrible choices. He's seeking you and he's seeking me. He came to seek. To seek and to save the lost. Furthermore, the graves scattered across this world attest to the truth that sin has permeated our hearts to the core. The history that man has etched out for himself testifies to the fact that he has no regard for life or for others. Without Christ, man is powerless to gain an edge over it. He goes about thinking he's free when in fact he's the prisoner of its power. In serving himself, he's actually serving his master, the prince of the power of the air, the devil himself. You may doubt my words, but the word of God is clear to this point. Ephesians 2, 1 through 2 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world." And Paul is saying, this is where you once were, believers in Ephesus. You were dead. You formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. That's where we were. That's the power of sin. It's captured us. Man makes his choices. He rejects the word of God and thinks to himself those harmful choices will never catch up to him. However, they leave a mark. Indeed, they stain everything that he touches. Every family in this congregation here today has felt its dread. But the day of reckoning awaits, and the lake of fire welcomes all who have loved their sin and rejected Christ. Sin brought death, death of the body, the death of the soul. This is why Jesus came. He came seeking. Remember, seeking, the word means to seek after, to look for, to try to find, because man is under the domination of the evil one, and we need to be saved. How loving, kind, and gracious is his pursuit of a wretch like me. Do you see it? Do you feel it? Have you experienced it? We covet and we lie. We want what others have and are jealous of them. Our thoughts hidden from others testify to our own conscience and to God that we are wicked. See, the things we don't want to do, we do. And the things we shouldn't, we find ourselves doing. The Apostle Paul testified to this, "For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate," Romans 7:15. And then the 19th verse, "For the good that I want I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want." That's the heart of man. Jesus is pursuing those who are without hope. Jesus said he came to seek. We needed him to seek us out, and that is what he is doing. How is he seeking? Jesus said again, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." When we remember Christmas, remember the babe in the manger, and the mission that he, as Messiah, came to do was to seek and to save. How is he seeking? One way is through his word. You're hearing it now. His word ignites our hearts with the truth that we are desperate for him. We can see it. See, we can read it. We can understand that there's a God in heaven who's entered this mess that we are in by sending his son on a rescue mission. And I praise God for that. This is the good news. That in this mess, in this darkness, in this desperation, God has sent his son to seek. His word, illumined by his spirit, teaches us, convinces us of the wages of sin and the truth of the glorious gospel of Christ. The Father draws us, the Spirit convicts us, and Jesus, his name means Savior, saves. His word speaks to his seeking us. I praise God that he has. The Bible gives us his revelation in order that we might seize God's perfect assessment of ourselves. That perfect assessment is not that we're pretty good, it's that we're desperate and we need a Savior. See, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Can you get your head around all of it? I cannot. But I know this. God speaks to our hearts. He tells us we've all missed the mark. He tells us the wages of sin is death. But he offers to you and I the greatest gift that we will ever consider. This is how he's seeking. Additionally, he seeks the lost by giving courage and power to those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who are called to testify, to explain to others how they were set free from sin's power. believers. He's planted you and I in this one place, at this time, in this culture, with those that you are to influence, that you might give a testimony of what God has done in Christ for you, in releasing you from the power and penalty of sin. That's another way that he is seeking. His followers are called to shine, to do just that. Jesus is the light of the world, sent into this present darkness. His followers are called to shine that light into it. You and I have that privilege. He's freed us from the power that sin has over us. Their lives preach that sinners can be forgiven, can be set free, and his with a purpose and a joy in life. This is how he's seeking. He's seeking because we need to see him. He's seeking because our sin has separated us from God. He's seeking us through his word, through his spirit, through the work of the Father's Spirit and the Son. And Jesus gloriously saves when we cry out from this desperate place. He will save the worst and best of sinners. He's seeking. Who? Who is he seeking? He's seeking those who have made sinful choices. He's pursuing great sinners and good sinners. He's pursuing sinners, those who have no hope in and of themselves. He's seeking those who believe they've sinned too much to be rescued. His heart is for those who have no hope. He's seeking those who believe that would believe in his Son. This is what the Word says. 1 Timothy 1:15. It's a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance. In other words, this is true. Take note of it. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. He's seeking us. He's seeking sinners. He's seeking you and I. All have sinned. We're in the same boat, every one of us. We need a Savior. He's coming for us. He came to save sinners. You know, we are condemned. We don't live up to the standard of perfect holiness he calls us to. We might be better than a neighbor, but we're not better than Christ. We cannot stand before holy God and say, I'm without sin. And because of that, God sent his Son. He sent his Son not to condemn, but to save. I love John 3:17. Matter of fact, this is one of our boys. This is his favorite verse. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That's the heart of God, see? But if you don't ever get what sin has done, you'll never recognize your need for a Savior. You won't see it. We're desperate, and God has sent his Son, not with the purpose of judging the world. His purpose in coming, he saw it, he's seeking, he's saving, is to save. That is really, really good news. He came seeking, he came saving. We're condemned. God sent a Savior. So no matter your past, I want you to know this morning, he's seeking. You're not too far gone for him to save. No matter the awfulness of your sin, he's pursuing. No matter what others don't know, he loves you. He sent his Son for you. He's not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. He's seeking you. Remember that text in Luke 2? For today in the city of David, there's been a Savior. There's been born for you a Savior. For me, a Savior. That's what we're desperate for. That's what Christmas, the celebration of Christmas, is all about. God's kind intention toward you and I in our desperate need to meet that need. We're great sinners, and for that, he has provided a great Savior. He's seeking. He's seeking. He's seeking you. He's seeking me. Not only is he seeking, he's saving. Do you see that in that scripture again? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he's come to do. The word save here, it means to deliver, make whole, to preserve safe from danger, loss, and destruction. How's he saving? How is he saving? He's saving through faith. We are granted eternal life by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I love this verse in John 5:24. Truly, truly, Jesus says, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Do you see the access point? He who hears my word and believes. That's the access point. That's faith. That's trust. In what? In the finished work of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross for you and I. The scripture says, your sin, my sin, was placed on him. God judged him there. The wages of sin is death. He died as our substitution. All of your sin debt has been paid for. So is mine. The question is, will you apply it to your account? Will you believe? Jesus says, it's an open invitation. He who hears, anyone who hears, you can come, anyone. It's an open invitation, always, and believes. Do you believe that God sent Jesus for you as your substitute, as your Savior? What does that mean? It means that I need to make a decision. All of you have made a decision about what you're trusting in your life to be right before God. All of you have already made that decision. If it's in anything else other than the finished work of Christ, I would plead to you to repent, to change your mind, and to place your faith in him. So there's that call. He's saving. How is he saving? He's saving through faith, through trust. And that's a hard message sometimes. You know, if he would be saving through, oh, this is what I have to do, bang, 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 10 different things, we just gravitate to that. We like that. But God is saying, you have no merit. You got no merit before me. Your deeds done in righteousness don't measure up. We don't like the sounds of that. But that's the way it is. You and I don't get to define this. God does that. And he says, you need to come in humility. You need to trust in this message of the gospel. You need to believe. If you do that, I'll gloriously save you. You'll be released from the power of sin, from the wages of sin. He's saving. How is he saving? He's saving through faith in Christ. Who is he saving? He's saving the lost. This text out of Luke 19 perfectly demonstrates it. Jesus, in that day, while he's speaking here, earlier in the text, he sees a man. And he gloriously saves this man, Zacchaeus. In that moment in time, Zacchaeus had to make a decision, will I trust him? And he did, and he saved him. By the way, he was the lowest of the low in that society. He was a tax collector. And I'll tell you what, no, those guys were thieves. They stole from the people. They added to what they needed to take. They were looked down upon, but Jesus reached out to him, called him to faith. So he's saving the lost. Zacchaeus was lost. He saved him. I'll tell you, there's a point in time in my life when I was lost. And if I never figure out I'm lost, how will I be found? I was tracking a deer one time with one of my sons. It was at night. And we were following this deer. And we came to a point when we thought, you know, we can't go any further. We're going to pick this up in the morning. We were way, way down deep in a swamp. There was a full moon out. But I couldn't remember which direction the moon was in. And I knew we could at some point get out of this place, but I wouldn't want to spend half the night trying to do it. So I made a call. Called my dad up. I said, Dad, is the moon in the north, in the south, in the east, or the west? What direction is the moon in? He said, what are you asking me this question for? Because I'm lost. And if I could figure out where that's at, I'll know what direction I need to go. See, but if we never own it, you're never going to be found. If you fall off a boat and you're drowning and you don't recognize you're drowning, someone has something to help you out of that. If you never cry out, if you never see it, you're going to drown. You need to understand, apart from faith in Christ, you got nothing. You're lost for all eternity. He's seeking the lost. We know that, but one of the most famous verses in the Bible, right? But look at it. God so loved the world. Who's the world? It's people. It's people. He loves you. He loves me. I can't explain that. I don't get that. Because there's enough in my life not to love me. But he does. He loves the broken. He loves sinners. And he sent, God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave his one and only son. That's what he did. That's that display of love for you and I. He gave it. He gave him for us. That whoever believes, that's an open invitation. Every one of you today, God is saying, I'm willing to save. I'm willing to save. Will you believe? Whoever believes, that's faith. It's trust. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. In him, if you believe in him, in Christ shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is good news. So he's saving. Who is he saving? He's saving anyone that would cry out. Remember, save, it means to rescue, to deliver, to make whole, to preserve safe from danger, loss, and destruction. He will impart new life, and they, the believing sinner, will be made right with God. God desires all men to be saved. That's his heart, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Most won't. That's the reality. As you hear this message, I want to tell you that most won't. But you don't need to be with the most. You need to be with those who say, I will. I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust. This is what Christmas is about. It's about a Savior who is sent, who's seeking, who's saving. He will save you right now if you will make a decision to trust him as Savior. That is great news. Why? Why is he saving? Again, because we're lost without a way of escape in and of ourselves. One cannot have a life-changing, saving, forgiving, and forever child of God relationship with him without recognizing this one thing. I have a great need. And only Christ can meet that need. Do you realize what Jesus is saying here? He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. We know this about Jesus. He isn't just a man. He's God in the flesh. As such, he knows all things. He knows what it is that he needs to say to us. And he's saying to this, to you and I, you need to be saved. One of those individuals I shared with you was Zacchaeus, and the Lord gloriously saved him on that day. See, we have a big sin problem before God. And apart from faith in Christ, we have nothing of merit. There's no deeds of righteousness. We fall short of what God calls for. He knows this, and he's willing to save you today. Again, you can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. Ephesians 2:8, among other verses, makes it very clear. For by grace, that's unearned, unmerited favor lavished out to you. For grace, you've been saved through faith, trust, belief. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's a gift. It's called in other places the gift of righteousness. I think I've stressed that we're in great need for this. But see, Jesus came to rescue sinners from destruction by providing salvation to all who would believe. Anyone who would believe. And in believing, we make a decision to trust Christ. We reach out by faith and take the gift of eternal life. I've illustrated this in a number of ways before. And it always costs me when I do this. It's just by way of illustration. I'm going to offer something in just a moment, absolutely free of charge, to anyone. As a matter of fact, I'm going to step down and make it easier. Anyone who would take it. It's a free gift. You can't pay me for it. You have not earned this. Believe me, you have not earned what I'm about to do. I don't have an amen to that at all. But I'm going to offer it, $20, to whoever would come and take it. It's right here, $20. Don't hesitate. Somebody else is going to take it. If you wait, someone else will do it. Who wants it? Let her rumble, Micah. He made a decision. He made a decision. He made a decision. You know what he said? I don't care what you guys think. And there's some younger ones in the front row. If I don't get there first, I'll do it. It's always the young ones, isn't it? How many of you 60-year-olds ever got up and grabbed that? You won't. Why? Well, we won't get into that, right? That's what salvation is. It's offered to you. Micah did nothing to earn that. Nothing. He just said, I don't care what others think. It's going to be the easiest $20 I ever made in my life, or grabbed in my life. It was a free gift. He can't pay me for it, although maybe I'll look him up later and shame him. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm a preacher. We have no money right now. Let's finish here. Let's finish. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen, this salvation is amazing. That he would come, it's remarkable. This Christmas story is an incredible story of God's reaching out to us. This is why it is said, salvation, that birth announcement of Jesus, good news of great joy to all people. Savior's been born. Jesus, in coming, crushed the power of sin. That first resurrection morning, we remember he's risen. And in him, we are more than conquerors. Not that we don't struggle, but we have someone to go through that struggle with us. Not that we don't sin, but the power of sin is broken. We can say no to it. Jesus crushed the power of sin that first resurrection morning. He did that. Those in Christ have hope and purpose, because if the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. He came to do that. I want to say to you, brother and sister, rejoice. Give glory to God. Praise his glorious name for what he's done. Jesus came to set us free from the power and consequences of sin and to give us life. That's why he came. That's why he came. Have you realized that? Have you tasted that great salvation? Have you come to a point where you've said, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I have nothing, God. Save me. He will. He will. Let's pray. Loving Father, you are so good. It's amazing to us to think of the extent of your love. And we stand as those redeemed, and we glorify your name. We praise you. It's hard to believe you would save us, but that's what you've done. Father, there are others that are listening, or will be listening, or in this congregation, that need to make a decision to trust in the finished work of Christ. And if they do, if they will now, if they'll humble themselves and cry out, you've said whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We give you praise. We trust that will happen for many here today. In Jesus' name, amen.